since we've got a minute.
Yeah.
We are in town. You wanted to seek out somebody that could help you become better with your double-ended scimitar.
Right.
Since the party, I believe, is agreed in taking a week of downtime so that you can all level up in the process.
Oh, that's right.
You guys spend some time poking around, and eventually you get directed to this old retired soldier. You know, apparently he's a little off his rocker, but is one of the best polearm fighters that this area has seen in years.
Awesome.
So as you go to seek out this individual, you knock on his door, and the door opens up, and inside is a small courtyard area. And then it's a walled off courtyard, and then his little house in the back. He goes, "What do you want?"
And Adara steps forward, and she gives like a little nod of her head, like a respectful nod. And she says, "I apologize for disturbing you, good sir, but I was told you could help me learn what I seek."
Yeah. Kind of opens the door a little bit more. "Oh, and what do you seek?"
And she'll pull out her double-bladed scimitar and hold it out towards him and say, "I want to be better with this."
Hmm. He looks you up and down. "We'll see if you're able to, we'll see what you've got. Come on in." He leads you inside of the little courtyard. He nods over towards this pole arm that has these two blunt balls on the end. He goes, "Pick that up."
And she does.
He then picks up just a regular quarterstaff and goes, "All right, show me what you got." As you move towards him wielding this thing, you realize the balls at the end are double weighted. This thing is heavier and it is harder to maneuver. And he keeps just kind of sidestepping you, knocking it to the side. "Gotta be faster, faster." And occasionally he'll just kind of poke you with his staff. He proceeds to do this for about a half an hour as you pause panting. He goes, You got some spunk, kid. I'll give you that. Come back tomorrow morning. We'll start playing with the sharp objects."
Awesome.
And he does indeed insist that you learn how to use several different kinds of pole arms, which you quickly realize that it's all mostly just a difference in the head. The weight is all the same for most of them. The double-ended weapons, he does get you to practice with that heavier one for probably the first 3 days, every day with that for a little bit, so that when he does get you back to your double-ended scimitar, it is light as a feather by comparison. And at the end of the week, he goes, "Well, you've come a long way. Oh, by the way, that'll be 40 gold.
And yeah, she'll pay him. And she'll give him, like, 10 extra.
He smiles and says, "Why, thank you, young lady. Now, go out there and mess him up." You have a few bruises and sore spots by the end of the week from his staff poking you when you weren't fast enough. That sounds dirty, but it's not.
I'm just so proud of myself. I didn't make that comment.
Cam, I have something to send you. And K2, we have a little bit of armor shopping to do. But I think one of the first things that you would have done would have probably been to go get paid. That seemed to be a fairly high priority for the party, correct?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
So you you saunter yourselves back in back into the large municipal building that you were hired in, and you wander on up to the front desk, and the clerk looks up at his bunch of sailors. Do you have an appointment?
No.
She takes a look. Gonna be hard to squeeze you in.
No problem. And I go into my backpack, and I will I will pull out 7, you know, I guess child size heads, and then what's left of the other one. Put those down. I'll just leave these here with you, and we'll wait over there.
There is an obvious look of horror as blood has begun to drip onto her desk. As she quickly gets up, her arms like stiff, and she just kind of turns and starts walking out of the room, almost penguin walking in a stiff manner. Before long, two men in uniform come out, and the counselors will see you now.
Excellent. Scoop up the heads and head on back.
the guards bring up the rear behind you as you guys are led into a larger chamber where the council sits before you, and one of them... I hear you lot are causing quite the theatrical entrance.
Yes. Well, we have an agreement on solving your small ogre problem, like tiny ogre problem.
Yes, of course, we agreed.
Okay, so let's settle the first part of the agreement, and I'll pull out the 7 heads, and then
first
the
part.
Yes, there is issues. So these 8 heads here are the 8 that we killed, because that was all there was of those particularly. So at 17 gold per head was the agreed price.
Okay.
So that would be 136 gold for that. Now, the sticky point is that we were also going to be paid 20 gold for rounding the nest. Now, routing the nest entailed a lot more effort than was agreed upon. So, I'm just going to bring out all the things that we had killed and tell you what our fee is. So I pull out the three actual ogre heads. It's like, these are 3 actual ogres. And then all 8 orc heads. There are 8 orcs, 3 green hags who were kind of running the show. 4 undead that were with them, 1 undead ape, and then, oh right, or sorry, 4 more orcs, so that's a total of 12 orcs, and then this is the orc chief, who was at the behest of the green hag. Now all this was entailed in the routing of their nest, because they were all in and around the nest, participating in the tiny orc problem. As you can see, the problem was significantly larger than 20 gold pieces worth, although we will be taking that because we did accomplish that task. And then I'll rattle off what I think is a fair price for all of these things. And I'm thinking probably around...
I can't do this.
What do you guys think? 6,000 gold pieces fair?
Looks on all of their faces are like...
No, I'm asking the party. I would have asked them beforehand. But just out of game, do you guys think 6,000 gold pieces is fair? Or do you think we should go for more?
I say aim high, and when they shoot us down, we just lower to 6,000.
Yeah, negotiate down.
Okay, then I'll say, I think for all of this, considering how much extra effort there was, I think 12,000 gold pieces should have just about covered it. Plus the 20 gold pieces for clearing out the nest and the 136 for the original 8 heads.
There's murmuring as the council talks among themselves, and one of them is leaned over to his scribe who's writing stuff down, and then they kind of come back after a second of talking amongst themselves. By our calculations, at 17 gold a head, plus the 20 gold for routing it out, that would only be 632 gold.
That was 17 gold per head for the tiny ogres. That was the stipulation. None of these, and I point to the pile that is not the 8, are tiny ogres, friend.
They pause. You do have a valid point there.
Yes.
You know what we will...
Do you have the hag heads?
We've got all 3 hag heads. The 3 actual ogres. 12 orcs, the orc chief, and 5 total undead. 4 randoms and an ape.
That is so fantastic. Sorry, it just sounds so badass when you tally it all up.
Oh yeah, we killed a lot of shit down there.
they look up. We would like to make you the offer of 3,000 gold.
That's pretty shrewd. How about 10?
Four.
Considering how much effort there was complete with 3 actual ogres, I'm kind of thinking maybe 8.5. And you're blue-balling me here. You're cutting me deep.
The one councilman you're negotiating with, kind of his eyes narrow, and he goes, 5.5.
Well, I can't go much lower than 8.5. Tell you what, because I like you guys, we'll go with 8. If that isn't good for you, then I'll be happy to put them back. I'll just pay for the resurrections, put them back where I found them, and we'll call it even. With the exception of the tiny ogres, of course. We'll leave those as they are.
I would like you to roll me... I'm not sure whether that's persuasion or intimidation.
A little of both.
I would suggest intimidation if I could. But...
Sure. I will let you pick either, because you're not trying to be scary. You're stating fact.
Yes. Yeah, it's persuasion. So that is 14. He's not lying, so that's not deception. She will resurrect these guys and put them back.
K2's going to start packing up the bigger things.
Now, hold on. Let's... You wouldn't dare resurrect these monsters, would you?
Try me.
Well, I paid for them, so they gotta go back.
I don't do work for free. If you want to test that, go for it. That's an intimidation. If that's
absolutely
cool with you.
I will absolutely let you roll intimidation there.
Oh!
I'm going to give you advantage with K2.
Don't need it. Don't need it. Got a natural 20. That's a 24, sir.
As K2 is slowly just picking them up and putting them up, one of the other people in the back of the room who's waiting to speak to the council, you hear them pipe up, just shut up and give them the damn money!
That is now my new favorite person in this whole council.
He's just some... You look over, he's a dude in a leather apron who, you know, looks like he's run a comb through his hair, who's just here on business of some sort, but is shaking visibly at the pile of dead heads that's laying on the floor. The man is very obviously not a warrior. The council kind of pauses and says, well, hold on, hold on. How about 7.5 and they kind of look at each other empty, coming up empty with something else that they can throw in there. We could build a statue.
Tell you what, instead of building the statue, give me my 8,000. I can't spend a statue. And we ain't no heroes.
The council looks deflated, as you don't need to roll insight to realize that at least one of them knows a sculptor. They chat amongst themselves, and finally they go, as it is quite obvious from the members of the townsfolk present, they do not wish to see these threats reintroduced to their environments. Under the circumstances, we will agree to pay your 8,000.
And then kindly ask you to get the fuck out of our city.
That's what I was expecting. And then leave and don't come back.
Yeah, that's what I'm expecting.
You don't hear those words, but you very much so know you will never get hired by these guys again.
I don't know. We did a really good job in a really short amount of time. Depending on the situation. And we cost, but I mean, when you pay for the A-team. I'm just saying.
Alrighty, so you guys get your money and...
As they're handing out the money, it's like, oh, you know what? It was rather difficult to carry all these heads here. So, if you don't mind, I'd like to charge you a carrying fee of a single copper piece.
Adara rolls.
You see one?
I hope that guy in the background just laughs.
K2's laughing.
You see one of the council members turn like a bright shade of red over this pettiness as he pulls looks through his coin purse and realizes he doesn't have a copper, and he turns to his scribe, and the scribe points, give him the damn coin. Get out.
Okay. We leave the heads there, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That's their problem. That is now going to be my lucky copper, by the way.
They purchased those heads from you.
Yep. All right. How many people are in the party? 4?
Yeah.
All right. So that's 2,000 gold pieces apiece.
Yes, it is.
And 1 copper for me.
That's awesome.
I love it. I love that level of petty.
Yeah.
It's only because they kept trying to talk us down so much and tried to finagle us at the beginning. Had they not done that, I probably wouldn't have been quite so petty about it.
Worth it. But
that's what happens when you deal with bean counters, right?
To be fair, 632 was doubling a couple of their values already, but... you also had the ace up your sleeve of, we will just go get them resurrected, and you're not lying about it, and there are people that can make that happen.
We have the money to resurrect everything here. And I would totally be petty enough to resurrect them all and put them right back where I found them. Or in the middle of the town, if they really piss me off.
So you guys spend several days of downtime avoiding the municipal buildings.
Oh, yeah. I bet you the townsfolk are pretty impressed with us, though.
Word travels quite quickly, as you guys made quite a show, and as you make your way around town, some people do ask you, you know, are you the people that brought in severed heads and put them on their on the counter? Which you then have to tell them how many heads it is, which then requires you to recount the whole damn story.
So we're pretty famous by this point.
25, 26, 30, 31 heads, I correct them. It was actually 31 heads. But yes, we are them.
Yeah, at that point, you've got three or four people who are listening. And you do get quite the reputation around town.
I should have asked for the 8,000 and then the 156 gold for the actual negotiated amount. That would have been hilarious.
How many heart attacks do you want to give the council members?
Yeah, that might have been pushing it a little bit, but this is why you have a face.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad that I rolled that natural 20. That was so good. I saw a pop up with the D&D symbol on the roller here, on the Beyond roller. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be glorious.
Yeah, that worked out really well, and 8,000 gold was not an unreasonable. I mean, it was a lot, but it was not impossible.
I assume we're rested after all of this shenanigans.
Yes, you guys, if you haven't, you are taking the last 5 days because you're still working through the time that you gave your crew as downtime.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny them that. That's a good way to get get people mad at you.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to extend it. You're still within. You'll still be within the 2 week limit after you or 2 week time frame you gave them.
Oh, your first sentence is the best sentence ever after that whole exchange. So Caleb sent me a thing and he said that my week is filled with revelry as I use my charm and songs to make fast friends around the town. Oh, that's great.
All right. So Megan, unfortunately, you're going to have to sit back and chill for a little bit.
No, that's cool.
Cam, you got a little bit of reading for what you're up to, and then you can relay that. Hey, two, you wanted to go find yourself a shiny new suit of armor. Ooh.
Yes.
There is absolutely an armorer in town as you head down there. Pretty much any standard armor is available. What are you looking for?
That is a good question. I'm looking for something that's going to give me a bit more of a boost to my AC, maybe like a +2.
That would be a shield.
Roll me a D100.
Fifty,
okay. So the armorer, on top of having most standard kinds of armor, does happen to have a very interesting set in the back that, as you look at it, almost looks like it's made out of scales. But there, as you touch it, he goes, "Oh, that one was made out of the sea serpent that they killed a few years back. It's one of a kind. It'd be a darn shame to let it go, but for 150 gold, I could definitely pass that along, or give that over to you."
And what's special about this armor?
Well, for starters, because it kind of gives it a bend, the scales actually have some give to them, and they listen. It bends them a little bit. You don't hear anything. It doesn't creak like regular armor usually does. And it still allows you your full range of movement without being too restrictive. I sent you some more details.
Seems like a reasonable price. You said, what, 150?
150 for...
Oh, I could do 150.
Pleasure doing business with you. Even helps you, like, get into it and adjust the straps for the first time so that it's suited up for you. You leave in your snakeskin armor. That is remarkably comfortable for what it is. Like you find yourself almost not noticing it, like it's a second skin.
Well, that's good. Could I find a alchemist or a potions maker to pick up some potions?
Absolutely. There is a small apothecary here in the city. What are you looking for?
Mainly some health potions just to keep them on hand and maybe something a little interesting.
The apothecary is... It's a couple different interesting things. The proprietor goes over, they have a mummy rot antidote. He's got an oil of slipperiness kicking around. This potion, won't be careful with this one. Don't use this one indoors because you're going to start burping fire right away.
How much would that set me back?
Oh, this little guy would run you, it would run you 45 gold. I've got three of them if you're interested.
I'll take all three. Do you have any general health potions as well?
Oh, absolutely. I've got these ones. He pulls out these tiny little bottles that are, you know, like 2 inches long with a little stopper. And I've also got this guy. He sets down like a 1 liter glass vial with this purplish reddish liquid kind of floating around in it.
Okay, how many of the smaller ones does he have?
He's got 5 on hand at the moment.
50 gold each?
Yes.
I'll take those 2.
He gets those all set up in a little box and goes, you're looking for something a little more interesting, aren't you?
What's the purple vial?
Oh, that is a homebrewed concoction of a healing potion that I've made up myself. It'll darn near regrow limbs if you need it to. Don't recommend it. He holds up a hand and you can see one of his fingers is, the skin tone is slightly different. He goes, it's not a very pleasant experience, but it does work.
Slight regenerative properties, but heals you up. You know, in the right situation, that could be useful. How's the finger work afterwards? Fully appendable?
He pulls out a coin and rolls it across his knuckles and goes, works fine.
How much is that?
That one has set you back about 70 gold, and I've only got the one on hand at the moment. Although, if you come across any cockatrices, keep a hold of their feet. One of the ingredients is the marrow in their foot bones.
What was that?
The foot bones of a cockatrice. They're like ugly chickens that can turn you to stone.
Keep my eye out for one of those. All right, I'll take that. Anything that can make you tall, small, stronger?
He smiles and goes, oh, I got something like that. He goes into he reaches under the cupboard and pulls out this jar, and pulls off the stopper and kind of gives it a little sniff of smell. As you inhale, there's this deep earthy scent to it. You drink this, you'll be able to pick up a giant and throw him across the room.
I'll take that too.
It was this one was a little harder to come by. I'd have to run you about 130 on this one. But it does last for a whole hour once you drink it.
Okay. Now, do you have anything weird?
Weird. Oh, I've got something weird. It says, also with that giant strength potion, don't try to build a ship in a bottle after drinking that, okay? You might not know your own strength.
Is that a particular giant strength, or is it just like kill giant?
It's frost. I will send you that in a second.
Oh, I got that. Don't worry about it.
So you want weird, eh? He's got this potion. It took me years to perfect how to make this thing. It takes ages, but he gave it to Sir. Are you a wizard? He kind of looks you up and down. Forgive me, you don't look the type.
Yes, I'm a grand wizard. No, not at all.
I've got this little potion here that when they cast a powerful spell, it causes them to unleash true devastation, the true maximum potential of their magic.
Do they blow up afterwards?
I mean, if they point the magic at themselves, they could, but no.
Just had a horrible flashback to a friend. Sounds interesting.
Because this one pauses things. I'll sell you this one for 150 if you're interested.
I'll take it. One of my friends could probably use it.
Because unfortunately, otherwise, I've just got your normal run-of-the-mill stuff. If anybody's got a cough and cold, I've got a... I can sell you a liter of tincture for that if you're interested.
Do you have anything for a hangover? I still have one of those little vials left of what I took from the other place. I'm going to show him that.
He kind of smells it and goes, interesting. There's rock salt and pine needles. He dips a finger in, kind of gives it a taste and goes, I don't have this, but if you leave this with me and come back in a few days, I can make more of these.
Deal.
And because you're supplying the original one, I'll even cut you a discount. They'll only be 3 gold apiece.
Okay, I'll take 10.
Absolutely. I'll have 10 ready for you with little vials, plus the original, whatever's left of it, but I don't need for reverse engineering it. So yeah, you go back in a couple days, and now he has produced quite a few of these. And has your 30 ready for you and loads you up with them. So you guys have spent the last couple days both on personal growth or side doing your own little side missions, quests, interlude. As you come back together on your ship towards the end of the week to plan out what your next moves will be, K2 with his new armor and Adara walking with a little bit more of a confident swagger, and you notice a couple bruises on her arms.
I assume it was sexual.
Did you win?
Adara nods.
Yeah, you did. You go, girl.
All that matters.
Anyways, so we've come together again, so I'm going to go over a couple of job opportunities that I've come across. There is a job to transport 50 head of cattle that I'm going to veto as no right now, to be slaughtered by a farmer's guild. It's 200 gold. It'll take a couple of days to do, but I don't particularly want a bunch of cows on my ship, if that's cool with you guys.
Oh, yeah. That seems
less than ideal.
Yeah.
There's one that's a straight-up murder mission. It's what they're calling a Melanian vessel. It's got a red flag. It's hidden off the south side of a tiny island a few miles off the coast, and they just want it gone. There's no price associated with that one. So it's probably a negotiating thing. And then gone the last how? One. Hey?
Gone how?
Probably dead or sunk or whatever.
Remember, these people have the green flags. Or no, the yellow flags. The pirates are green. You guys are running a yellow-green mix. These guys have red flags.
Yeah, they're undesirables by the state. So,
do we know what the red flag means?
It's just the one of the countries to the north.
Okay.
Yeah.
And from what you understood from the sailors, it's not so much a paying job as a keep what you kill job.
Ah. Yeah. So. Yeah. So it's a if there's any loot on the ship or the ship itself, we could just keep it.
I mean, that sounds quite potentially profitable.
Yeah. Potentially profitable. Pretty dangerous, though. So, there's another one, too. A guy by the name of Vernon. He wants some mysterious cargo delivered to his to his employer, a baron at Baron's Bastion. I don't know where that is, but he's styled himself as the Pirate King. There's no other details than it's some kind of cargo that we'll be delivering, and it's 500 gold up front, 1,000 on delivery. It'll take a couple of weeks to finish. I think he said around 11 days or so.
Well, that's at least got a guaranteed price on it.
True, true. Although hauling mystery stuff is always kind of dangerous, but
very
probably
true.
Know it could be children.
Oh god, I hadn't even thought of that. But yes, true.
Yeah,
we don't deal in children.
Yeah, usually when they don't tell you what it is, it's probably because you don't really want to know.
Yeah.
So if we're going to take that one, I'd say we just get confirmation that it's in fact not children or anything of that nature. And beyond that, I don't really care what it is. So yeah, those are the three options that I've come up with. What do you guys think?
I mean, I'm all for adding a ship to our fleet.
I mean, yeah, an extra ship would be okay.
Not that we need it.
No, this is true. Might be a little early in our careers. Maybe once we've established our name a bit more, then maybe start thinking about expanding, but...
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Right. But, I'm kind of leaning towards this Vernon guy. He, like I said, once we confirmed that the mystery cargo wasn't, in fact, kids, then... And that seems like the ideal. Or we can just go try to murder some people. That's fine too. But I don't want to take cows.
All right. So you seek out Vernon again. He told you how to get a hold of him.
We haven't decided as a party yet.
Okay.
Yeah. So what do you guys want to do? Do you guys want to do the murder mission or the secret cargo thing?
K2, I think you're a tiebreaker.
Kind of want to see what's up with the ship.
Yeah, we can go do that.
We could always scout it, and if it looks like too much for us, then we can walk away, right? Like, we don't have to engage.
That is absolutely true. But
if we get close to them, they might engage us.
Also true.
Yeah.
That is also a possibility. There is also the possibility that if you do not, any job you do not take will be taken by someone else.
Good point.
Could we pull off both jobs at the same time?
In theory. I mean, I don't think that this Vernon Styles guy would be too impressed with that idea, because he said that he's in a bit of a hurry. Or that's what the posting read, so...
Are they in the same direction?
I don't know. Are they?
Kinda? It'd be a little bit of a detour, probably add a day or two to your trip, but nothing earth-shattering.
Are there any, magic users floating around the city?
A couple, not nearly what you would have encountered in the last city you were in.
Yeah, they don't need to be strong. They just need to be able to either control weather or create gusts of wind.
All right, so yeah, you could definitely find someone who has those kinds of capabilities.
Okay. So here's my thought. If we can find somebody who has the ability to control the weather a little bit in some fashion with magic, we could go for the ship and then use their ability to control weather to make sure we always have favorable winds, hopefully cutting down travel time, and get both of them accomplished at the same time. What do you guys think?
That sounds pretty damn smart.
Yes.
Okay. Because we're going to lose probably like 2 days dealing with this other ship thing. Although I think that we should either just abandon the ship to float or scuttle it, one of the two.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then take whatever is valuable in it and be done with it.
So if I understand the plan correctly, you're going to go meet up with Vernon to confirm the details, and mm-hmm. are you delegating finding us a caster to the other members of the party?
I guess so. You guys okay with finding us a caster?
Sure.
Some kind of mage? Yeah.
I, for what it's worth, there is an empty bunk on the ship right now.
Yeah. And whatever you whatever fee you feel is fair, negotiate for that.
You know what?
Because we're obviously going to have to pay the mage.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. And even if we don't make money off of this particular thing, don't worry about it too hard, because it's all about building the reputation.
All right, so They set off the next day to go sort that out. As you go and connect with Vernon at his office, when you come in, he invites you in, tells you to close the door behind him, and as the door closes, you feel the room kind of like the noise outside of it just kind of cuts off. You don't need to roll Arcana to pick up that there are enchantments built into this office. I mean, the man's a lawyer. He probably discusses some less than reputable things behind closed doors.
Yeah, well, makes sense. All right. So then I guess we'll sit down, and then I'll hold him up before he starts to speak, and I'll be like, I just have one question before we discuss anything else. I don't need to know what the item is that you would like transported. I just need to know that it's not children or of that variety.
You see him kind of like pause for a second and then go, well, yes, but not in the way that you are thinking, I think.
All there right, is. Then, okay, continue.
The cargo in question is two passengers, one of which is a child, the other is their chaperone.
Are they passengers?
They are not in chains, if that is what you are asking. They will be boarding of their own 2 feet.
Okay, you are a lawyer.
Excellent lawyer.
Yes.
My employer wishes to have his son brought up to the Baron's Bastion for a wedding that is going to be taking place. You do have one benefit in that the Lady Alvaria's ship will be heading in that direction and leaving the day before you. And while I shall not speak ill of her, there is often a lot of show and pomp when she departs. Should be more than enough to keep the majority of cutthroats busy.
Okay, so we'll probably be chased while we're doing this.
It is a possibility. However, your reputation for handling situations precedes you.
So I just want to confirm that there's no crazy enchantments or anything like that going on in this kid. We're not transporting a magicked slave person. It's just the kid's aspect. If it was an adult, I don't think we'd care. But kids are cut off for me.
I mean, okay. They are 14. They are still a child. But yes, they need to be there for the wedding that we'll be partaking in.
Okay, and you said that there's a hurry, obviously. So, okay, so I think we're going to take this job, but we'll need some more details. When's the wedding? When do they have to actually be there?
The wedding itself is in 3 weeks.
So 21 days, okay. Obviously, you suggested 11, or as quickly as possible, so...
If you were to go straight there, it would be 11 days, assuming fair winds, of course. He says, okay. There is also one other thing that I... Now that you have... Sorry. Are we in agreement, then, on the price to transport these two there? Transportation back has already been arranged.
Okay. This child is a girl or a boy?
A boy.
A boy. Hang. Okay, so if I read correctly, it's 500 gold up front and then another 1,000 upon delivery.
That is correct.
Yes. Well, given the potentiality for difficulties, the 500 gold up front would be fine. We'd even be willing to waive that for 2,000 total on delivery.
He pauses for a second, goes, "That is not an unreasonable request. My employer would be happy to pay you that."
Excellent. Just a little bit of danger pay, you understand.
Yes. So we are in agreement that you will take the job?
Yes.
Very good, then. He pulls out a drawer, and he pulls out a piece of paper, and he sets it in front of you, and it is, or sets it down in front of you, and he makes a few amendments to it, scratching some stuff out and noting, and then he slides it across the table, and it is the contract that you guys had agreed to, and he had scratched out the original pricing and changed it to reflect your new negotiations.
I am going to read that a lot. I know a magical contract when I see one. If we don't do this, something bad's going to happen. So what are the stipulations in there? Obviously, it's we have 21 days, so we have to get them there before the wedding. So I'm assuming 20 days is what we have. So we have to get them there very latest the day before.
Yep.
At the very latest.
Yep.
We're transporting his son plus his caretaker, which is great because I hope that they're trained in combat because it's going to be some combat. I'm assuming they have to arrive whole and hale, so no injuries. Unspoiled, as Saruman would say.
Yes.
Yes. All right. And
yes. Yeah, and we don't need to... Alive is absolutely imperative. Uninjured is absolutely preferred.
Yes. Yes. So, here's the thing. And I'll ask him, in the unlikely event that we should fail to do this, what are the consequences?
He smiles and says, well... I assume that should you fail, it is because your boat has sank and all of you are dead.
Yeah, most likely, yes.
Terrible tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
However, if it were to be discovered that you had, say, traded the boy for gold or whatever you sailing types enjoy or enjoying these days. My employer would be most interested in the recovery of what was lost. And he would find you. And it would not be money that he would seek. There is a reason that we are moving in such secrecy.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Just have to know all the details, you understand?
Absolutely. I appreciate someone who is versed in getting all of the details.
Right. Is there anything inside the contract that gives me pause or anything like that? Any fine print?
Roll me investigation.
Twenty-one.
As you're reading through it, you do notice that there is a clause about a bonus for each day that he arrives before the wedding. Mm. The bonus is a 25 gold per day bonus.
Interesting. All right, I'll point it out. It'd be like, and this clause here for the 25 gold extra per day. That's on top of the 2004 delivery, correct?
Of course. That's why I made the amendments at the top.
Excellent.
You can clearly see it's 2,000 on delivery.
Plus
the, if you happen to get there early, there is a bonus, because I do believe there are some preparations for the wedding. I do not have all the details, unfortunately.
Oh. We don't need those kind of details. We're simple fairy people.
But this is why I believe this is a good business relationship. You ask the right questions.
Just so we're clear, we do have a crew, and it will be shared lodgings for the caretaker as well as the boy, because we have a whole crew. I expect your caretaker to take care of the boy on the ship. Watch out for them.
Of course.
Keep them out from underfoot, all of that.
Absolutely. They only eat food prepared by their caretaker, I am told.
Perfect. All right. And they're free to roam the ship, just stay out of our way.
Yes, well, I doubt the boy will come out until you are well out at sea. He is not one for crowds, from what I've gathered.
That would be wise. All right. Well, I think we have an agreement. We have an accord, as they say.
Hey, so you signed the contract?
Unless there's something that I noticed in there that was blatantly, you know, like, really bad. I mean, being hunted isn't so bad. I'm assuming the magical thing will allow him to track us down no matter where we go, if we should fail. That's my assumption. I didn't ask, but that is my assumption. So, yeah, I don't see why not.
All right, as you sign it, you hand it back over to him. He also signs the bottom of it, and then he waves a hand over it and mutters a few words under his breath, and the contract accurately replicates itself on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And he hands you a copy of the signed contract, and then he pulls open another drawer, and he pulls out a small little box that fits in the palm of his hands, and he sets it on the table and goes, this is insurance, let's say. Should you encounter any problems on your trip, this should help you out. As he pops open the box and sets it in front of you, and it is a almost gaudy golden ring with a large ruby set in it. As you kind of move it, you almost see like the flicker of flames inside of the gem.
What is it? I mean, it's obviously magical of some sort.
It was something that I used when I was much younger working on a ship that I found quite useful. Unfortunately, it is almost used up. It's only got maybe two more uses in it, but it allows you to create a fireball. Size of a small house.
Nice. That could come in handy. Is this mine to keep?
Yes. However, once it runs out, it will just be a ring.
Hmm. Perfect. Well, I thank
but
you for
I figure you are welcome, because remember, if you fail, I have also failed in finding adequate transportation.
It would be
a great disappointment to both of us should this not work out.
Agreed. Well, then I will leave you and await the Little Lord's arrival on the boat. I assume you know where our boat is.
Absolutely. I know the dock number and the exact stall that you are in. I did my research before reaching out to you.
Wise move. Wise move. All right, so then we are...
You are sufficiently strong enough to handle what you are doing, but inconspicuous enough that I don't think anyone will suspect that you are transporting anyone of importance.
That's the whole plan.
Very well, then. Right. If you present the contract upon arriving and delivering him to the palace, and they will see that you are suitably rewarded, and you never know, there might even be a feast involved.
That would be lovely. Then after that, I'll shake hands or whatever it is they do here, and then I will leave the room. And as I'm walking down the hallway, I'll mutter to myself, it's like, I think he's a devil.
All right, so you leave and return with the contract to your party.
Mm-hmm.
Who all get to see that the pre-written contract had to be amended to account for more money.
Yeah, so it's actually 2,000 gold pieces plus a bonus of 25 gold pieces per day before the wedding that he arrives. It is a child who is the son of this particular person, so not a slave or anything like that. We'll have a caretaker that will be monitoring his safety and food and all that jazz, so it's good. And I do believe that we just made a deal with the devil, so that's something to think about.
Say what now?
A deal with a devil. You know, they're extraplanar beings that make deals with mortals, usually for their soul, but this time just for money. Either that or somebody who has the same kind of mentality. There was a lot of contract negotiation here. So, as you can see by the fact that there's an actual contract, not just a word of mouth.
And nowhere on that contract does the word soul or anything that you would interpret as soul appear.
Yep. Which is fine. Works for me. We just wouldn't have been... As soon as that would have been mentioned, we would have stopped negotiation. Be like, sorry, I don't negotiate with that. That is just too valuable.
I don't know. This guy is just offering 2,000 gold to get this kid there. And you notice the contract does not say anything about their chaperone.
No, that was word of mouth, but he did say, and he doesn't strike me as the kind of person who would lie on a deal.
I mean, he gave you a copy of your own of the contract, so he's fair at the very least.
At the very least, yes. So it's all good. That's what we negotiated. How were you at securing ourselves a weather-controlling spellcaster? And then I guess it would be for those guys.
Yep.
So I will shut up now.
First thing K2 would have done was he would have went back to the apothecary and been like, wizard, where?
The apothecary person, who is more than delighted to see you as you spent, I don't even remember how much you spent there, a lot,
Just shy of 1,000 gold.
Wow.
So they're more than happy to see you. As you come in, wizard where? He goes, well, he says, I only know two wizards, personally. Well, one's a bookish wizard. The other one, the other one's got a bit of a temper on her. But I think she's a sorcerer? Sorcerer. She doesn't read books, but does magic, that type.
Yeah. Weather controlling?
Yeah, when she gets angry, she's known to cause storms.
I'm going to turn to my friend and be like,
The wizard, Benjamin, he's studying to become a great wizard one day. Young lad got himself some hands on some magic books and started learning when he was only 14.
Which one of those two would be willing to go on a trip for money?
The apothecary smiles and says, for enough money, everything is for sale.
That is very true.
The boy does like his library. I can't tell you much about the sorceress. All I've really heard are rumors that she's got a foul temper and can stir up thunderstorms when she gets angry enough. Not a lot of people spend a lot of time with her.
She might be a bit more dangerous than we want.
Try the kid first, then we'll go and see the lady.
He goes, well, Benjamin kind of looks outside, looks up at the sun and goes, yeah, Benjamin's probably still at the library. It's, Head out the door, turn left, go about 8 blocks that way, then turn right and head over probably 10 or 12 blocks. See this big building with a big glass, stained glass window in the front. It says library on the front.
Can't miss that.
All right, I'm going to drop 5 gold on the table and be, thanks for the information, and just literally walk out.
Thank you, sir with deep pockets.
K2 is like the best customer, knows exactly what he wants, doesn't hem and haw, and pays for what he gets, and then leaves. Doesn't make small talk or anything. Best customer ever.
Yep. Simple man who has simple needs.
Yep. So you make your way following his instructions, and it wasn't 10 or 12, it was closer to 15, but you eventually find this large building, and making your way in, you start asking around with librarians, who eventually point you up on the second floor, where you find this young guy, maybe 17 or 18, sitting hunched over a pile of books. And you can see that he's moved his desk a couple times already to follow the sunlight coming in the window.
I'm going to stand right in front of the sunlight.
Intimidation.
He looks up, and you can see the attempt at a mustache coming in with his brown hair. It's a valiant attempt for the young man. He looks up and goes, it pushes up his little glasses and goes, excuse me, I was using that. You're really big.
Can you control the weather?
I mean, I can do some weather stuff. I can make some winds blow, okay, and I can sometimes like make it not rain on top of the area I'm standing in.
Perfect. You come with me. I'm literally going to grab him and start walking out.
Where are we going? He's grabbing his bag.
To the ship.
To the ship? What ship? He's not trying to fight you, and as you hold him by his arm, you definitely can understand why.
You need clothes. Where do you live?
I just live a few blocks around the corner. Where are we going?
On a trip. Let's go.
Adara will follow behind and just be like, don't worry, we just have somewhere we need to get to in goodly time, and you will help us do that, and we will pay you.
Yes, I should live with that.
Kato, I'd like you to roll me persuasion with advantage, because Adara's talking sense while you're using excitement.
What I miss?
15.
K2 just kidnapped a wizard.
Oh my god.
Just picked him up and started walking out of the library.
as you're walking down the street, he goes, well, I guess I could do some field research. He kind of looks at you and goes, I get the feeling you're not going to tell me where we're going till we're on the water. Is it at least a city that would have a library?
Possibly, I have no idea. What's beyond my pay scale?
Does Adara know, say, based on her cartographer knowledge, does she know whereabouts they're going if it's a city?
Yeah, it is. It's marked as, depending on the map you're looking at, it's marked as both a city and a military fortification.
Hmm.
So it's either a small city or a military fortification, depending on what, the older maps show it as a fortification. The newer ones are showing it as a city.
Okay. So Adara will reassure him. It is indeed a city we are going to. I am certain you will find many good books.
As well, I guess a good adventure would be good. I'd get to put some of these skills to the to actual practice, I guess. So, yeah, sure. He starts walking on his own, and his blue robe is kind of just swishing back and forth, and you can tell that it's not like an official wizard's robe. It's something that he's had made himself. He's very self-taught, but. You have managed to convince him to join you on this endeavor.
Awesome. Adara's going to slip a gold piece into his hand and wink at him.
he blushes. As he gets to his house and he packs up like 17 or 18.
No, tall.
Oh, tall? Like 5'6", so a lot shorter than you.
So we both got about 2 feet on this kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys both loom over this kid.
No wonder he just came with us.
This is Caleb. Except I'm not involved in what others are doing right at the moment, so.
So, Jess, you get back to the ship first, and you're waiting. As you're waiting on the deck, you see Keitu and Adara coming forward. They've got this young human kid. The guy's maybe 18. He's got a full haircut and a mustache that looks absolutely atrocious on him. He's got two bags on him, both of which look like they've got several books. He's probably brought more books than he has clothes.
I'm simply going to be wizard.
Hi, my name's Benjamin. I've never been on a real ship before. Wow, this one's big.
I think you'll like this one. Plus, I have something below decks that I think you would like.
Ooh. Gonna take him on a grand tour?
Yep. She'll show him around, and she really wants to show him the Pot of Awakening that she has stashed down there.
He is excited to see it, and you know, I've never gotten to study one of these. How long have you had something growing in it yet?
Caleb, that's a question that I was just about to ask you. How long has it been since Adara was hired?
Three, 4 weeks? Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say about 3.5 weeks.
Oh, okay.
So let's
We're coming up on it pretty close.
Yeah, let's go with 24 days.
Okay. So she'll look at him and say, 24 days now.
Oh, that means that we're going to get to see it awaken.
Yes.
Oh, that's going to be so fun. I can't wait to take notes on that.
Adara's just excited to, like, share knowledge with this kid.
Who is totally geeking out at every practical, magical thing that you can present to him. He's very knowledgeable, you find, about things, and he has read about anything that you bring up magically. He's read or referenced in a library, or... You know, he once traveled down to the south side of the island by land to read from their library, and he read even more stuff. You realize that this kid has spent the last 3 to 4 years buried in books and has a lot of knowledge, but not a lot of experience.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Maybe he'll get some on this trip.
Okay.
She's also going to show him the little mystery potion that she makes every morning and explain that she doesn't know exactly what it's going to do, but it could help. And then she says it's in this little blue bottle that I keep in this particular pocket. So in an emergency, if you need something that might help, that's where it is.
Have you tried drinking it on a regular basis to see if we can figure out if there's any sort of pattern?
No, I've never thought to do that.
I would be more than happy to assist you with research.
Well, I can only make one a day, but that does make for a very interesting trip.
Well, I mean, save it in the evening if we haven't had need of it throughout the day, we can test it then. And if you did need to use it throughout the day, we can just note down later what happened. Because, I mean, in the moment, we may not have time. Sometimes field research is, from what I understand, more exciting than sitting at a desk.
Adara just smiles a little bit. It can be.
So as you guys get settled in, and the last day of shore leave is up, and the crew start coming back in, and they start prepping the ship throughout the day. And that evening, a carriage arrives at the end of the docks. Out of the carriage step 4 cloaked figures, one of which is shorter than the other 3. They move down the dock, illuminated only by a couple lamps here and there. As they come up to your ship, they start walking up the plank. They stop at the edge, just at the railing. Permission to board.
Adara will wave them on.
I thought there was only going to be 2 of them.
Only 2 of us will be continuing with on this journey. Okay. We understand that space is limited. We simply wanted to ensure that they got where they were going.
Oh, good, because otherwise you're all going to have to sleep in the same bed.
As the two at the very end don't actually come up onto the boat. They start heading back towards the carriage. It's just leaving you with the short young man with his hood kind of pulled down so you can't really see a whole lot. He's got his hands stuffed in his pockets, his head's kind of down. And then the caretaker, who is an older man, probably late 50s, early 60s, human with long gray hair that has long since disappeared on the top, just tied up in a ponytail behind his head. So can we be shown to our rooms? The name is Marcus.
Room. Home to the small room.
As they get down to the small room, they kind of look at it. Well, it's not what we normally would travel in, but it'll be just fine, I'm sure. Can, young man, why don't you set yourself up? It's going to be a long night. I'll go fix some food. He says, could you show me where the kitchen is?
And I literally point him to the other side of the room and be like, over there!
Oh, thank you. Again, we appreciate your willingness to transport us under these interesting times.
Watch out for the goblin in the kitchen.
Pauses and goes, thank you for the warning. He walks away. You can hear him kind of just say those very interesting employees. And then as he wanders into the kitchen, the door kind of swings open. You hear him wandering around and all of a sudden, and with that, the boat sets sail, leaving the harbor, slipping out into the inky night.
Yeah.
Adara's going to make sure that there's a decent amount of bedding in that small room for the two of them, so that they would be at least comfortable-ish on the journey.
That is fair. I think that we should, just because anything we launch into from here is going to take us past 10:30.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It'll basically be a combat, so. Naval.
Yeah. Combat. So, if I understand the party's plan, you want to try and divert so that you can catch this other ship. And what's your plan with that?
Actually,
assuming that
at this point, Adara would be more than up for just getting this kid where he needs to go, being that there's a gold bonus for quicker delivery.
What's the trip to drop this kid off?
About 11 days with under reasonable conditions.
And there's no timeline on the other thing, right?
No, but there's also no guarantee that it's going to sit there. And this, again, this isn't going to be the only ship that you ever encounter then. You could go after. Heck, you guys could just go sailing around in the ocean until you find somebody to go pirate.
Yeah.
This is true.
Get off.
What was that, Andy?
I said we'll drop the kid off and hope and pray this ship doesn't go anywhere.
I was actually kind of thinking we could attack the ship and then take the kid. because the ship is much closer.
Yeah, but we might not want to keep this kid around very long.
Oh, well, you're going to be with him for at least, like, 2 weeks. Like I said, it's like 11 days minimum to get there.
We've got a wizard to make it go faster.
True. But that other ship is probably not going to be there by the time we get back. So if we want to do both, I'm cool just doing the kid thing. But if we want to do both, we'll probably have to do that before we drop the kid off.
Yeah. Dara's going to vote for just getting the kid to where he needs to be. Because she thinks that eventually someone will figure out that the kid must have left the city on that day, and then they would figure out whose ship that he could have been on.
Yep, that is a risk.
And then people could come after them.
Mm-hmm.
Be best to not get caught with the kid.
So the plan is to skedaddle your butts as quickly as possible up there, then?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Using our pilfered wizard to control the winds enough to make sure that we got favorable traveling conditions.
Yeah, and with Adara's cartography knowledge, she can navigate quite well to get everyone there in a safe route.
Jessica has literally nothing to offer.
That's not true.
Hey, I made the deal happen.
Exactly.
She's the face. But on the ship, she's got nothing.
Yeah, that's fair. You're the entertainment. You can keep everyone going, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and as the crew is reassembling itself, Sergei finds K2.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Hey, boss, I just wanted to let you know that business has been pretty steady, if you catch my drift. And he hands you a bag of coins. You pop it open, it's just full of silver pieces.
How much?
There are 60 gold or silver pieces in there.
Okay, I will give him 10 and pass the rest along to whoever needs it.